This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field!
I've been hearing that a lot.
The drive and the two!
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Yeah. Let's go for a little ride.
Oh, memories.
Reminiscing.
Back when fans in the stands, the light shows.
I was telling you, I found a video on my camera roll of the pregame with the lights out and the phone lights flashing and the purge sound effect playing before the Michigan State game, and I just kind of got sad.
It was so hype.
It was. It was pretty awesome. You were there for those games too, right, Isaac?
Yeah, and that was the game they passed out those orange, like waiver thing.
Yeah.
And I remember mine.
Those lit up too.
Mine instantly broke, and I was like frustrated because everybody else had these cool like lit up orange bong thingies, and I just didn't have anything.
Back when that was our biggest problem, the lights wouldn't work.
Yeah. That first half was forgettable, though.
Correct.
But the atmosphere was awesome.
It was great at the end until it wasn't at the end. That was just a really weird roller coaster game.
I remember talking about
in the Michigan State game.
Yeah,
I remember
right.
talking about that with you on the podcast. Like the atmosphere when you realize Iowa might be done.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you were saying you were just like sitting outside for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, I legit sat outside by my car because there was so much traffic.
Yeah.
At another thing you didn't really get used to dealing with until this season, but there was so much traffic I didn't want to wait in the traffic. Plus, I was in that mindset where, like, I definitely would have honked at somebody for no reason. Go! Yeah. So I just sat there for, like, 20 minutes because there was so much to take in.
I remember grabbing a seat out in the arena, and I was sitting out there writing my story, just trying to get all the atmosphere and all just the feels in the building until about 1 a.m. But another reporter was by the crime scene.
Uh-huh.
That's what it looked
investigating
like.
Investigating.
Like zoomed in and reenacting. And here's exactly the spot where I was.
Did he take chalk and write, do the outline on the ground?
But it was pretty.
It was just
somber.
I know I've said this before, but that was just such a quick swing in like a 6 second time period from you missed the block out, the dunk. Oh, wait, we're going to be fine because Iowa's got the last shot. Oh, wait, Iowa's never going to play for Illinois again. Like, in the span of literally 6 seconds. Because there were no timeouts called or anything. So you had literally no chance to react to any of that.
And I had the replay was on because that's all we got nowadays
right.
on Big Ten Network. But I forgot that Iowa had missed free throws with under a minute to go.
Correct.
But then they run the play to get Kofi fouled where they're doing the ball screen, and I was attracting all the attention, whips it into Kofi. Kofi makes two huge foul shots, and then you should have won if you get the rebound on the box out.
But we didn't talk about that enough, I don't think, because the game was lost. But Kofi, in a freshman situation,
at
that point, he was in the middle of his slump free throw shooting-wise, and he knocked down both of them, like nothing but net.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a big moment for him.
D-Will was on the broadcast up in the suite.
Yeah. That was a big moment for him. It's just that no one talks about that because it didn't end up working out.
Right.
But, yeah, that was I would have bet you before those free throws that he'd miss at least one of them. Maybe the second one. But, no, he nailed both.
I agree with you.
Anyways, memories. You ready to do Derek's Dimes?
Let's talk more hoops with Derek's Dimes.
Well, we don't have any hoops music, so you'll have to deal with that.
Okay.
All right, here's some we got earlier from Twitter. There'll be some that I'll go through on the text line after we're done with these. First up, what is next for the Illini now that Shaundi Brown is gone?
Good question. There's nothing, I wouldn't say nothing, but that was one target where they really went all out for him this offseason, where they've been pretty selective on the transfer market. They were pretty interested about Francis Okoro. He was clearly looking for more of an opportunity as far as...
That was another weird one.
Yeah. It was.
I wasn't here that day, but like out of nowhere, he just goes to SLU at 5 o'clock.
And the buzz was ISU.
Right,
like,
right.
Okay. Just nope, odd. SLU. Travis Ford. Also a good swoop-in guy.
Yeah, right, yeah. That's such a politically correct way to say it. I love your phrasing there. A swoop-in guy.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with saying swoop-in. There's just a tiny bit of implication there that I like.
Yeah, true.
Swoop-in guy.
I've had a couple years to learn the lingo.
There you go.
Establish a visual picture. As far as what Illinois is going to do, still interested in someone that could contribute immediately at the four. Do I see someone out in the market right now? Not really. They're not in the Matt McClung sweepstakes. I know he's not a four. He's a wing.
He announced his top seven about 20 minutes ago, didn't he?
Yep.
Anything of note on there? Big Ten or anything?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't. Not that I know of. But it was interesting to see there was a report of Matt McClung's going to announce tonight. Sources. That was one of the Rothstein tweets today. He's gonna release
there
his top
many.
Seven.
Yeah.
So, breaking news. Again, Illinois, it will be potentially either one spot open if Io and Kofi return, three spots open if neither. I'm expecting two spots and Kofi back. And it's kind of a wait and see mode. They're really putting most of their energy in 2021 guys. And there are a handful of reclass candidates. Mike Foster, who they just had a virtual visit with this past week. They have Mac Etienne, who they're doing a virtual visit with today. Jordan Nesbitt, Brandon Weston, all four of those guys I just mentioned, I think all of them are leaning towards staying in 2021. Things can change if Kofi were to leave because all of a sudden you need to really press the gas on finding somebody to fill that spot next year. So right now, don't have one guy I'm circling saying, okay, he's it.
What do you know about Utah transfer 6'6 wing Both Gok? Is that his name? Both Gok?
What I do know is he's the first guy that I've ever seen is first name is Both.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. He kind of sounds like a Star Wars character.
He must be a combo. He's both.
A combo
forward, a combo guard, or something like
that.
You know,
I had one last hour, and I can't remember what it was. I had a really good pun. Oh, Chris said Jordan Puddle is the backup, and I was thinking if he makes a splash,
hey,
splash the puddle. Yeah. I liked yours better, but yeah, Both Gok.
And on the sports reference, where I usually go for my basketball stats, he's listed as both a guard and a forward.
There you go.
Both is listed as both.
True to his name.
He's from Minnesota. He recently entered the transfer portal, did not shoot the three well last year. So he's a wing, only shot 25% from three at Utah last year. Around 11 points per game, four rebounds, three assists. I did see a tweet from Andrew Slater with The Athletic where he said that it sounds like those around him. And look, you just always shake your head because you hear this about way too many guys. He wants to go somewhere where he can be a point guard and show that he has his point guard skills for the professional and all that stuff. It's like,
I personally have never heard that before.
You're a 6'6 wing.
Yeah, know your place, dude. I don't know what's, yeah.
You're not playing point guard at Illinois. Illinois might as well just put their feelers in. They could use a wing. He's a sit-out. He would be a sit-out guy. But doesn't sound, I haven't heard a whole lot there where Illinois has targeted him and say, okay, we're going all in.
I mean, it's like Damonte Williams saying, give me the ball, I'm going to be the point guard. Yeah, I doubt he'd do that, but it's like, why? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to be mean, but no.
Yeah.
That would be my response to that. What are your thoughts on Juwan Howard at Michigan overall so far?
I mean, I don't blame him too much because they didn't have a terrible season, and I thought they would take for sure a step back, which obviously they did when you lose Charles Matthews, Jordan Poole, and there was one other. Oh, Iggy.
Yes.
Ignis Brazdeikis. So for them to not be a top five team in the league when early on in the season, I was blown away the fact that they.
That weekend where they beat North Carolina, now they turned out to
North
be
Carolina,
worse.
But handled Gonzaga.
Right.
Which Gonzaga was going to be a one seed. That was impressive. They stroll in here, number five in the country. But his recruiting. He's shown that he's going to be a factor for top-level guys. And he's someone that there's a cool factor to Michigan. There's a cool factor to Juwan. He's still, as we talk about quite often on the show, he's still pretty green, it seems like, as far as the coaching and just handling himself, you know, with the media and everything. He had the incident where he brings up a recruit's name.
Did that twice.
Yeah.
In his first 2 weeks.
Yeah, so that part of it, you can tell that he's still green, but... I don't know. The jury's still out. I think it's an intriguing hire. I would make the gamble if I was Michigan. So But to be in the mix with Josh Christopher, the fact that they have the top class here in the Big Ten, Isaiah Todd, he goes to the G League. That just means you signed a really talented player.
Right.
It didn't work out. So he's going to be a – Michigan has been a thorn in Illinois' side here recently in recruiting, and I think he's got a chance to do that as well. But at least you have some solace if you're Illinois and say, you messed around with Adam Miller, but he's coming to Champaign to play.
And you went 2-0 against him.
That too.
So dinner is served, Michigan. give me your way too early top five for the Big Ten next season. This is way, way too early.
This is way early. Iowa, it starts with them, assuming Luka Garza's back, assuming Jordan Bohannon's healthy. They got Wieskamp, they got Frederick. Their bench, which wasn't great last year, still doesn't seem like they'll have a whole lot, but their top five that they can roll out will be as good as anybody out there. Joe Toussaint, I thought, was pretty decent as a freshman as well. So I have Iowa up there. Michigan State, can't sleep on them. They do need to find a point guard. It sounds like Kareem Main, who's either going to go play. He's a five-star from Canada. He's either going to go play professionally, or many think he's leaning Michigan State if he goes the college route. If you roll him out there with Rocket Watts, with Aaron Henry.
Oh, Langford said today, by the way, Josh Langford, that he intends to come back.
With Josh Langford, if he's healthy. And Bingham is decent.
Yeah.
He's a good athlete. I know he doesn't put up a whole lot of point production, and they're going to miss having not having Xavier Tillman down low. Michigan State, Maryland's going to fall off. Wisconsin's going to be back because they're bringing everybody back. Illinois will be there, in my opinion. And then it's a little tough.
You know, you're forgetting one team.
Am I?
The Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
They
don't lose anybody.
Geo Baker back. Harper Jr. back.
As much as it sounds like a joke, they should probably be top five, right? Maybe.
Fair. You know who else is going to be pretty good is Indiana.
Yeah. They
Chris
added
Jackson Davis.
Who did they just add?
Christian Lander is a five-star point guard who reclassified. Al Durham will be back. Justin Smith will be back.
They need to shoot threes well.
Yeah, because
they didn't last year.
Devontae Green's the only guy that was... I keep saying that, and Al Durham did hit shots, but
not consistently.
Green would get hot, and he's not back, so they got to be able to do that. But they'll be talented.
What are your thoughts on potentially matching up with Bruce Weber in the 2021? What is the name of the classic?
Hall of Fame classic in Kansas City. I love it. Why not? Let's get it rolling. I'm not someone, and look, I'm from Champaign. I've been an Illini fan throughout my time. I'm a reporter now. I look at it differently. I don't hold a grudge like some do against Bruce. Did he not capitalize on? I mean, we could spend a whole show on that. It's obvious. It's true. The recruiting that he wasn't able to have, it put Illinois in a bad spot. Goes to Gross, and, you know, Illinois got in a hole. But I just find it really, really intriguing being in Kansas City. I'm assuming Kansas State would bring a nice contingent. Illinois always travels well. I think the fact that Underwood played at Kansas State, he coached at Kansas State for 6 years with Frank Martin and Bob Huggins. Obviously, Weber was at Illinois for 9 years, took him to the national title game. Let's do it.
Amen. I'm with you. And I like the rest of that field, too. Arkansas is a beatable but Power 5 team. Cincinnati, after his success at Nevada, he's doing well there. Cincinnati's trying to move on from Mick Cronin. I don't know how they're doing, but again, that's a name even if you beat them.
Too bad I can't even tell you who Cincinnati's coach is.
I have no idea who Cincinnati's coach is. Why don't you look that up while I pitch the next one, because it's kind of long. What is the non-conference schedule setting up like as of right now for Illinois? So here's what we know, and then I'll let you kind of fill in the holes. You got the Gavitt tip-off games. Someone did report the other day that Illinois will be a part of that. You got the ACC Challenge. You got the Emerald Coast Classic, if that happens, but... again, we're just throwing in the qualifier that all this is happening. Florida, Iowa State, and Oregon are in that grouping. And then you have Arizona at home, and then Missouri, obviously, for the bragging rights game. That's a lot to take in. If you have the standings up, I know I just asked you to pull up the Cincinnati coach.
Real quick, John Brannan, who was at Northern Kentucky.
Whatever. Okay. But Illinois technically finished second in the Big Ten, right? Because there was a three-way tie for first.
You could calculate it like that. I know that
they finished fourth.
Iowa said that, and some of the Illini Twitter has put that out. It's fourth.
Okay. So for a non-biased ESPN exec is not looking at Illinois and saying they finished second, in other words.
No.
Because those are the people that are picking the ACC Challenge.
True.
So usually the ACC lines up more or less with your standings finish, correct?
Yeah, they try to do that with the Big East and ACC, and as I've looked at both of those, it looks like, as far as the Big East, Providence finished fourth. Butler finished fifth.
Butler would be the one I'd circle there.
An at Butler game, Hinkle Fieldhouse would be pretty cool.
I dig that. We just had at Providence a few years ago.
Right? Yeah.
I don't really care to go Chris to Providence
Dunn,
again. That was
the Michael Finke tip dunk wasn't to be.
Yeah. He missed the tip dunk.
None. Alex Austin was matched up with Chris Dunn.
Correct. Nunn missed the three. Michael tip dunked it, bless his heart, and it didn't go in. And yeah, that's right. Alex Austin was on Chris Dunn.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
As far as the ACC Big Ten Challenge, you have Florida State won the league, and then there was a three-way tie for second, so this could present some interesting matchups. That was Duke, Louisville, and Virginia, which I'd take a matchup, Illinois versus either one of those.
Absolutely.
Any of those three. Let's avoid the fifth-place team, Georgia Tech. Which
yeah, no thanks.
Georgia Tech finishing fifth in that league tells you everything about how the ACC was last year.
I legitimately did not know that Georgia Tech finished fifth.
No.
I mean, they weren't anywhere near the tournament, were they?
They were not.
Okay. And you've played Georgia Tech twice in the challenge in the last half decade, right?
Boring.
Now, is it every single year you rotate home and away? I feel like some years you've had back-to-back.
Sometimes home. You have back-to-back.
So we don't know if it's home or away. Could you imagine if they got, like, Duke at home? I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
That'd be insane.
And there's a non-zero chance of that happening.
True.
Right? I mean,
true. I think that you would imagine that those that have say in the schedule, especially if, let's say, if Iowa were to come back, that's
true.
A team that you'd want to put, you know, on a national TV against a big-time opponent, which you could say Louisville is a big-time opponent as well, but Duke at home, at Louisville here, at Virginia.
That'd be cool.
Any of those.
There's no way they're giving you Duke, right? Like, they've got to make it Duke, Ohio State, or even if that doesn't line up with the standings, I feel like ESPN would not do Duke, Illinois.
Yeah, I think Duke, Wisconsin would probably get a nod.
Yeah, true.
Duke, Michigan State, of course, although they might play each other already in the Champions Classic.
That's true. I don't know. Any of those matchups are interesting to me. Overall, though, I mean, say you go at Butler, at Virginia, Arizona, Missouri, and then two of Florida, Iowa State, Oregon. That's a stacked non-conference right there.
Yeah, quite a few high majors, and it'd be a big difference compared to last year where I know you opened up on the road, Grand Canyon. Their final KenPom, Grand Canyon was 265.
They were putrid.
They were
awful last year.
Yeah, Arizona was disappointing as far as what the expectation level was. After seeing them put 90 on Illinois and Nico Mannion and everything. But really, Miami wasn't a good team. I know you had the early season matchups against Maryland and Michigan, but you're not counting that towards non-conference.
Right.
Your non-conference was extremely weak.
Even the Power 5 teams you played, like you just outlined, Arizona was disappointing. Grand Canyon was awful. Miami was awful. Missouri was awful. So it wasn't even like you could salvage a few quad 2/quad 3 games in there. They were just all bad.
Yeah, so if you were to have a Butler, a Virginia, Arizona at home, and then the Javon Pickett Missouri game that make it personal this year game. Uh-huh. A little bit different.
Yeah, that's a stacked non-conference. I don't know what this person was referring to necessarily, if they meant this year or hypothetically. I know we talked about it before. Someone asked, if you could add one more non-conference opponent, who would it be? If you're talking about that schedule, I'm signing up for IUPUI Tech State. But I don't think that's what he meant by that question.
Okay, one more non-con opponent for, should we say, this upcoming season?
Sure. But let's assume that we need a good one, right? Because, like, or at least an interesting matchup,
right?
Like Kansas State.
I like that. Let's play Kansas.
Why not?
Let's have Illinois and Kansas, especially after wherever that program's at here a couple months down the road. Assuming Bill Self isn't suspended, still coaching, I'd love to see that matchup. I've said Florida before as far as a hypothetical matchup. I think it would be cool for, say, a home and home, Trent Frazier to be able to play Florida. There was
true.
That kind of storyline there where they ignored, didn't offer him. Uh-huh. Trying to think what else.
I wanted Nevada a few years ago in terms of just like Jordan Caroline's from here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ties, but they were so good. And now I don't know if they're going to be any good. So I don't know how exciting that would be.
Let's do Dayton.
Dayton would be awesome.
James Herring on the line.
Plus, you get the hangover of Dayton actually being really good. They might not be that good in terms of Illinois could beat them.
Still good enough to be exciting.
Right, but people would view it as an exciting game regardless. Isaac, do you have any ideas?
I, for some reason, like a Texas or a Texas Tech. A Texas Tech because they have a couple guys you had your eyes on, like a Terrence Shannon.
Jamari Burnett going to be there this upcoming year?
Yeah. Texas is always like similar to Illinois as of recent when it comes to being on that border or bubble line. So
Texas is squarely in that category where it's a name, but I wouldn't feel that bad about playing them. Like, I wouldn't feel scared.
You're guaranteed to be on an ESPN network playing Texas or Texas Tech. So.
Even though Texas might not be that good.
Right.
How about a trip? Houston comes up to play at Stadium Farm Center. Calvin Sampson makes his return.
Yeah. Let's go. Derek's just on the revenge
tour. That wouldn't be hostile at all.
I like it. And then one more I'd throw out is West Virginia, because why not? You got the Huggins connection.
Oh, you're going to say Auburn.
Ooh. No, that's for the revenge tour. They should name, like, Illini Classic, but the other teams in it are just perpetually Auburn, Houston, Kansas State. And they claim it's just by coincidence and it's a round robin, but we all know what's going on there.
I'm down.
Okay, Kevin says get the X-Men on the schedule. Is that like a thing for Xavier, or is it just saying play the X-Men?
Xavier.
Okay, because I was going to say, if you're playing the X-Men, you'll probably lose. I mean, Kofi's big, but Wolverine's got, you know, kind of the edge there with his claws.
No doubt. Just played Xavier in the Maui last year.
You did. That's two years ago. I forget that game because that was, what, day three? At that point, I was like, what was it, the eighth place game? I don't really remember that. And you did play Iowa State in Maui then, too, right? So I doubt they'd give you...
Yeah, THT remembers playing.
Yeah, well, true. I doubt they'd give you Iowa State to start out in the Emerald Classic. Maybe? I don't know, because you just played them? Then again, you just played Oregon twice in the last 5 years, too, didn't you? Five or 6 years. Maybe you get Florida. I don't know. Someone texted in, I would like to play and beat UNC. Well, if you're going to beat them, I would agree with you on that one. I would not like to play UNC and lose by 15.
Would have liked to play them last year.
That would have been the year. Let's see. Ryan says, how big was the bag for Goodwin? Okay. okay, here's a pizza.
Swoop.
Here's a pizza one for you, Derek. Are you more of a Monocles or a Papadels
guy? I'm more of a Monocles guy. Now,
there's no wrong answer to this.
There isn't, and I should just say both, but that's playing it too far in the middle. As far as what I've had more growing up and my go-to would be Monocles. It's my preference. The French dressing, you can't...
Oh, so good.
You can't beat it. I dip the pizza in the dressing. I don't know.
Absolutely.
That's what you have to do.
That's what
right?
I do. Isaac, is that what you do?
Well, it's more of a how much pizza do you want with your sauce type of thing.
Yeah, there it is. So,
yeah, exactly. No, that's not weird at all.
Papadels is spectacular. I know as we were talking about during the break, SVP wasn't happy with the weight.
Right.
But
you got to know, though, SVP, if you're going at 6 o'clock for an 8 o'clock game, you're going to have to wait. That's another place where it's how much pizza do you want with your sauce, but in a different way. A lot of sauce on that pizza.
Good point. Papa Del himself was out at El Jefe in Scottsdale when I was out there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Watching the Illinois-Michigan State game.
Did you give us the hookup for Papa Del's?
I should have.
Yeah.
I didn't. I shook a hand, back when it was safe to shake hands. And maybe I left an impression, maybe I didn't.
Is it funny now that like I'm watching stuff like a movie and I'll go, oh my God, they're too close to each other. Or, oh, I shook hands, because I'm just like trained to now not do that, even though, you know, it's a movie.
There's that. I also watch replays of games where just insane playoff crowds.
Yeah.
I'm like, that was normal?
I'm almost taking like a parental mindset, like, oh, look at all those germs. Those people must have been sneezing all over each other.
And yeah, I can't wait until get back to that. I don't want to rush it. But
look, we're all trying to be safe here.
We are.
We're also trying to keep our mental sanity here. So...
When it's safe to do so, put me in the stands in a sold-out environment.
Okay, a couple more. Derek, any chance the Stephen F. Austin findings hurt Underwood at all?
I don't know. I saw that they're going to have a postseason ban, I believe, based on a...
For next season?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know anything about this.
I honestly don't know a lot. Maybe we can effort this one real quick.
They were the team, obviously, that beat Duke. Yes, Isaac?
Yeah, Stephen F. Austin just a few hours ago facing NCAA penalties for a lack of institutional control.
Uh-oh. They got hit with the old lack of control.
Big words that kind of mean nothing, I guess. That's pretty much all it says, but
was it?
It was occurred across multiple sports from 2013 to 2019.
Oops. Well,
okay, so article today from Myron Medcalf on ESPN. Stephen F. Austin faces a series of penalties, including the vacating of games for lack of institutional control, involving the erroneous certification of 82 student athletes in 9 sports over the decade.
Yikes.
Reading down here, with the latest reprimand, the school must return 50% of revenue from the 2016 NCAA tournament when basketball program was led by current Illinois head coach Brad Underwood.
Huh. Okay.
All right, then.
That stinks for Stephen F. Austin. I mean, that's not exactly a program that is waiting in cash right now, I'd assume.
I wouldn't think so.
And, you know, obviously they've had a few good basketball runs, but I don't really hear about any Stephen F.
F. Austin.
Stephen F. I was thinking Stephen A. Smith. Stephen F. Austin. I don't really hear about any other Stephen F. Austin sports is what I was trying to say. That's interesting. I mean, if it was like a, would you say a clerical error or something?
Sounds like
that is
allowing
to
athletes
Underwood, but
to play that weren't academically in the correct standing. It says the NCAA said the school's violations largely stem from the certification of transfer students who had not fulfilled progress toward degree requirements.
Well, we'll find a fall guy. We'll be good. Yeah, that was Joe down in accounting.
That's right.
Go find Joe. I mean, if Will Wade's still coaching, I don't see how this could even remotely be a problem.
I don't know enough about it, but I don't know. Something to monitor, I guess.
Final one. Question one. There's a lot of zeros there. Question 10 million on IO. Latest return rumors,
It is funny that the boards are going because apparently he changed the background of his Twitter back to unfinished business. Oh. Put back in his Twitter bio, hashtag unfinished business. So speculate as much or as little as you'd like to. We've talked about in the last week or so, I think his intentions to me have seemed pretty clear that he thinks he's pro ready. It's whether or not if he gets told from the league, hey, you need another year, or hey, there's a chance that you might not get drafted. Is he then willing to say, okay, I'm going back to college, or is he going to say, no, I've done what I said I was going to do? I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering, is if his hand is forced, does he come back, even if he doesn't want to, makes it sound like he doesn't like it here or something. That's not what I'm trying to say.
Correct.
But if he is dead set on saying, that's it, I'm okay with how my Illinois career finished, but it's September, the draft still hasn't happened yet, you know, the NBA season resumes, and so everything gets pushed back, and he's hearing he might not get drafted. I mean, at what point does he have to just make a decision? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not it's what he wants to do.
The NCAA is going to wait to make a new date once the NBA has a calendar mapped out as far as the pre-draft process. Look, Io thinks that there's an opportunity to play at the Combine is going to boost his stock. If he gets that opportunity, we'll see how much that happens. I do know at the end of the day, it sounds like there's going to be a serious conversation. Obviously, as you'd expect, between a final conversation between Io, between Brad Underwood, and as far as here's what we think, here's what we're hearing, this is what we think the opportunity of coming back would do. And it'll be ultimately up to Io. And look, they're as thankful as ever for what he's done
sure,
here. And
if he
wants to come back, that'll be his choice. And if he doesn't, then they'll wish him the best.
If he does, that way too early top five is looking pretty solid with Illinois in it, in my personal opinion.
Could win the Big Ten. And as far as leading into our next segment, Trev's ticket, 50-1 currently to win the national title. Those odds will change quite a bit.
Yep.
If Adesumu and Kofi Coburn are back in Champaign. Speaking of which, coming up next, we're going to do Trev's ticket, break down a variety of sports. We're going to get a little weird. We're going to get a little, I don't know.
A little off the radar, though.
We're trying to make some money. So
there you go.
We'll get back into it. This is The Drive.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-597-0315. That's 800-597-0315. 800-597-0315. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
This is Eric Bolin with Provident Financial Group. Finding your way to retirement may feel a bit like working your way through a maze. Without a guide, it's hard to see if you're headed in the right direction. We can offer guidance along the way to help you see the bigger picture and make sound financial decisions. Contact us today at 3017 Village Office Place in Champaign. Or call 217-366-3456 or find us online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Mattis Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
What would you give for a child you loved to make their wish come true? To help them fight a critical illness? Just imagine what you'd do. You see, wishes are so powerful, and you can make them real. They can give a child back their childhood, even change the way they feel. Every single one of us can make the stars align, because when we come together, hope and joy will shine. Wishes need stars like you. Visit Make-A-Wish at wish.org.
You have to be tough to be the world's number one selling farm tractor. So Mahindra tractors have a heavy-duty steel frame. And you can get heavy-duty savings at our spring sales event. Save thousands on Mahindra, the official tractor of tough.
Come see us at Awesome Machine Sales and Rental in Savoy and Tuscola. 0% financing is available. Service parts in-house. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Simply awesome.
2018 data, including all Mahindra Group brand sales.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
Sergeant Seth Herrig, Champaign County Sheriff's Department.
Thank you for having me today.
Congratulations. What do you want people to know about your work?
You know, it's a rewarding job. You know, we have, the people in law enforcement enjoy helping others out. We're not in it for accolades. We're there to help everybody else out. And I don't know. It's
Everybody says kind of the same. I want to help.
Yeah.
I want to help people on not their best day.
Yeah. You know, and it's not like you kind of give that generic answer. But, I mean, everybody that is working law enforcement has that desire to help everybody else out and, you know, be there in that time of need, you know, because usually the times that we're called out, it's not a good day for that individual, whether, you know, it's a car crash or a domestic related situation. You know, they don't see us on their best days, and it's hard to, you know, interject yourself in that situation. Yeah. But then in the same sense, you have to come in there, get the respect at times, and then you might not make the decision they're happy with at the end of the day.
Right. Stevie J Broadcasting, proud to salute our law enforcement official of the month. Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
You gamble?
Gambling? Who's anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
It's my money and I need it now.
Everything here revolves around betting.
Come on, sweetheart. That's gambling. You want to gamble? That's gambling.
It's my money and I need it now.
From casino to casino.
You do not have a gambling problem. You do not owe $15,000. It's $20,000.
I want to be a billionaire.
That's sneaky sniffy. You're like sniffy in a bad way.
Okay. It's my money and I need it now.
Oh, gambling's fun and easy.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
It's my money and I need it now.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Show me the money.
Here we go.
Let's
know the music, Trev's ticket here on the drive. We're all going to contribute here. Derek Piper, Trev Valise, Isaac Ambrose. We're going to get weird. We're going to start weird and Who wants to? You want to go? You want to go first?
This is for those kids out there that didn't get a stimulus check. I'm just trying to help you out, college age kids. Okay. So I did a minor amount of Bundesliga research.
Okay.
I don't think to the extent you did.
Maybe not.
But I'm going to go over to the lowest over-under I saw, which is Freiburg versus Werder Bremen.
Mm-hmm.
The over-under is 2. Every other over-under on Bovada was at least 3. So I'm thinking, wow, that is really low. And I look them up, and the last game, they both scored like 4 goals. They're feeling good. The ball's going in the net. That's about the end of my soccer analysis. But I'm going to take the over on 2 goals scored between Freiburg and Werder Bremen tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Awesome. I will tell you, this will make you feel better. Or not better, but even better. I don't know. I messed that one up. But Bundesliga soccer. Soccer. I don't know why I keep doing that.
I like it. It's like Curbella, like you said. I like it.
I get stuck on the Liga.
Liga soccer.
I'm trying to do an accent.
You could call it BS.
Bundesliga. Liga. I don't know. German soccer.
There you go.
Highest scoring professional league as far as the main out there.
All
at
right.
least 3 goals a game. So you're in the right spot here.
Over 2. Perfect.
All right. Try to follow me. Bayern Munich versus Frankfurt. Bayern Munich is the leader in the league, just behind Dortmund, who I've tabbed as my squad, won me money last week. But they didn't have a great week last week as far as Munich, 2-0, but they have shut out their last 3 opponents.
Wow.
Very, very good defensively. I've got a parlay here that will be minus 116 for this game.
Okay.
Frankfurt, in their last 2 road matches, this is on the road, they've lost both 4.
That's awesome.
4-0.
Wow,
2
poor
shutout
Frankfurt. Jeez.
So I have Bayern on the money line.
Okay.
I have Bayern to score over 0.5 goals in the first half.
Okay.
And I have Frankfurt to score under 0.5 goals in the first half. So long story short, Bayern will win, and Bayern will be up at least 1-0 at halftime for minus 116.
Hey, I like that. That's impressive amounts of research.
It took me a long way to get there, but I did.
Someone did text in, it's Bundesliga.
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 Cabela.
Good to know. Okay, so poor Frankfurt is basically the recap on that one. You're tripling down on Frankfurt being bad.
I am, and they did beat Bayern in the last meeting 5-1.
That's so okay. That means they're due for a loss.
Exactly.
Isaac, you got one?
You know, guys, as I was telling you at the break, there's some pretty interesting things on my bookie you can bet on. And this weekend, if you're pretty bored...
I will be. I guarantee you that.
You can hop on and bet on the Pinball Pro Circuit Championship. I'm going to have to go with North America. They're minus 190. So, I mean, not going to be winning much money, but Europe's plus 160, but you always got to root for the Americans.
I don't know. I kind of like the European value there.
I'm not really for sure how this will look or if you can watch it. I guess one guy goes, and then the European guy goes, and you see who gets the higher score.
Is it virtual pinball, or is it like they're there?
It honestly doesn't say, but I guess you wouldn't need to be at the same place to do that.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, I was just trying to, you know, factor in home field advantage.
And like Derek had some research. I tried, but couldn't find much research on the pinball squads.
Hey, at least you tried.
Yeah, so there you go.
Okay, so North America to win the pinball tournament.
Yeah.
Okay. Derek, I stole your best team and I didn't know it. I didn't know that Dortmund was your boys.
Because
my other Bundesliga is Dortmund minus half. I guess that means they're going to win by 1 against Wolfsburg. I also like the minus 140 money line.
Okay.
I'll take either one of those. Basically, I think Dortmund's going to win. That's not a bold prediction because they're in first place.
Yes, and shout out to the text line. I'm just making a fool of myself. Bayern is apparently the way.
Bayern Munich.
Bayern.
Okay.
Bundesliga.
You're not
Bayern.
Making a fool of yourself. We don't know
any
of
this. As long as you know the right side, you don't even know how to, have to know how to say it.
Guys, Derek came prepared. I just want you to know that, okay? He might not be pronouncing it right, but he has the info down.
I'm going to follow you there with Dortmund. Really, if you have it at minus half goal, they just have to win.
Right.
Of course, ties are one factor in soccer that you got. It's annoying. That's one of the reasons I haven't always been a big soccer guy.
Because there's no guarantee that they will win.
Yep.
There's the possibility that nobody wins.
A little bit of a look-ahead spot for Dortmund because, and it's funny to say that.
Yeah.
Because they have Bayern 3 days later for a chance to really take command of the league. Dortmund has to stay hot, which they have been. They've won 8 of their last 9 matches. Need to win the game to set up the huge game against Bayern. I think they win at Wolfsburg. Minus 135 is what I have it at.
Perfect.
Or you can take the spread. Bet on Dortmund.
I like it. Isaac, what's next for you?
All right, so something I'm actually betting on this weekend is...
Wait, you're not actually betting all your money on the pinball tournament?
I mean, probably not.
Put your money where your mouth is, kid.
Maybe I do. Maybe after I do some more research and even see how that's even going to look. But Brad Keselowski, he actually, if you are a FanDuel person, he's got a plus 900 boost. So it was supposed to be plus 750, and they gave him a plus 900 boost.
Wow.
So you can make a little bit more money on that to win Toyota 500 at Darlington. And okay. I actually was able to do research on Keselowski. He has done pretty well at Darlington and got some playoff points here recently. So if you're a NASCAR guy, throw $20 on Keselowski this weekend.
Do you mean it's like an extra 900 on top of 750, or okay, is like a 250 boost to 900?
Yeah, it's a 150
or 150
boost.
Yeah, okay.
So I guess if you're putting like a dollar, it doesn't make much difference.
No, I got you though.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
I actually have a NASCAR one. I'll switch over to that real quick. I don't know who this guy is, and his odds are awful, but the name was just calling. Anthony Alfredo is plus 15,000 to win the Toyota 500. I'm not sure if they've done like the pole positioning or whatever yet in terms of like where he's going to start. I'll be honest, I don't think it matters. But hey, if you never know on lap 499, if that's how that goes, if there's a giant wreck and only one guy comes out of the mix and it's Anthony Alfredo, you're going to be pretty pleased with me if you put 100 on him. Don't do that. But if you did, you'd make out with $15,000. Anthony Alfredo, let's eat.
Perfect. I got a little bit of a lean. One more on the Bundesliga.
Yeah, go for it.
Now, I'm not going to say this right, but Schalke? I'm with the us. See, I look at it and I'd say Schalke.
Right.
But there's a.
Well, I don't know. I don't have a good German Schalke. Accent.
Augsburg.
Okay.
Schalke and Augsburg. Neither team scores very well. Augsburg shut out in their last 4 road matches. Schalke scored 1 goal in their last 5 matches. Oh. But
Schalke.
Augsburg has given up 54 goals in the year, which is one of the most in the league. Schalke just lost to Dortmund. They're at home. I'm taking either. Well, call me crazy. You can bet both to score.
Okay. So you're betting both of them score.
I'm both getting off the schneid.
Okay. That.
And now that's going to end my Bundesliga and my mispronunciations.
Hey, you brought it with the stats, though.
Okay.
And that was Schalke smart. Okay, Isaac, what else do you have?
All right, this weekend we got Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady.
Someone listening to this like 6 months ago would have thought, what in the hell are you guys talking about? The only things we're betting on is pinball, Bundesliga soccer, and now Peyton Manning is playing Tiger Woods in a golf tournament.
Mm-hmm. They were desperate.
Anyways, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. They're plus 180, and Phil actually, when he faced off against Tiger last time, he easily won. So
did he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's essentially Phil versus Tiger. Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, yeah. They have similar handicaps.
Okay.
So it's essentially going to be Phil versus Tiger, and I like that plus 180. I'm not really sure why Tiger and Peyton are minus 225. So, I mean, you might as well throw $10 on that.
I like that.
I have been wondering if anyone's still listening after my terrible German, but Philo Godfather just texted in and said he also has Lefty and Tom Brady.
Okay.
So,
I mean, at plus 180, if he already blew him out once, there's worse values to pick, right?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
And the Godfather's on your side, Isaac, so there you go. Okay, all I have left is NFL futures. Is that fair? Although I did like the, I didn't pick anything, but I did like the political section of Bovada. I'm not going to get into it. At the bottom, it says, who replaces Kim Jong-un if he is truly dead? And I got to wonder, his sister is the heavy favorite, but he's got 2 brothers too. And one of the brothers, this is a blood relative brother, is plus 900. Why? Why does the sister have the inside track and the bros are plus 160 and plus 900? I'm taking the long-lost brother for plus 900. See what happens. We don't even know if Kim is dead or not. That's all I got.
Are there questions?
That's all I got.
Okay.
I'm not going to say anything else. That's all I got.
Why not?
Just taking the brother.
Doesn't that kind of seem like betting on insider information?
It does.
If I'm a family member.
No, you're right. It well, that's something controllable, too. Like the Super Bowl prop bets last year, there was one that said a fan will rush the field, and it was like plus 900. And I think it was Barstool or somebody tweeted out, if any brave soul wants to just rush the field and bet $1,000 on it, they'll make out rich, even though they'll have to, you know, get out of prison. But they'll make the bail money.
You'd right, still end up positive.
Yeah. Or like, you know, the Gatorade color.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk to the team equipment manager. Tell them tonight you're feeling it's that raspberry Gatorade and then bet red.
Yeah, if you were the guy making the Gatorade, how would you not just...
Oh, I'd be all over that. Or like, heck, even now this is actually illegal, but if you were the offensive coordinator and you knew your first play was going to be a run, you could bet on it. Although I guess if you're the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, you're hopefully being compensated well enough that you don't need to be doing that.
Fair
enough. Okay, NFL futures. I like, now this is kind of out there, and I don't actually think it's going to happen. I just like the value. To win MVP this year, Kyler Murray at plus 1,200. Now let me let you in on a secret, not really a secret. I started a Madden franchise, and I picked the Cardinals because I just thought that's kind of a fun. They're 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not very good at Madden, and they're 10-2 through the first 12 games, and Kyler is in the lead for MVP right now on the video game system.
How about that?
I mean, my question, I guess, would be if Lamar can do it, why can't Kyler? And Lamar doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, decent running game. Now, the Cardinals' defense is not going to be very good. Lante shakes his head from 10 miles over there. But at plus 1,200, I think it's like the sixth best odds. I'll take Kyler Murray.
I like it. I actually got it at 26-1 and put $5 on it.
Wow.
That was a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Smart.
I don't know. The hard part is, like you said, with the defense and having to essentially look at the past however many years, you need to win like 11, 12 games.
The hard part is winning.
MVP,
yeah.
But they're going to have a ton of firepower. I'll have one. I already hinted that I have the Colts to win the AFC South.
Like it.
But I really want to dive in where Lon gave his hot take that the Patriots would win 10, 11 games.
Uh-huh.
I am going big on Patriots under 9 wins.
Okay.
Minus 115. Here's what has to happen for you to lose money. They have to win 10. If it's 9, you get your money back.
Right.
The Patriots have to win 10 games with Jared Stidham and no upgrades to their offensive weapons. They're acting as if they don't have a quarterback problem. And I get it. Matt Castle, however many years ago, went 10-5 in his 15 games. His top two receivers were Randy Moss and Wes Welker. They don't have those guys.
Nope.
They have Julian Edelman, who has been banged up the last couple years. N'Keal Harry, Mohamed Sanu. They got nothing on offense.
And they could still go 9-7, and you'd win the bet.
Yeah, right.
So, like, I'm totally with you. I like that. They could go above 500, and you'd still win the bet.
At least if you're gonna do nine, right, you get a push.
Right. I like it. Isaac, you got any more?
Well, I'm going to throw you guys a curveball here. And one of the best things you can bet on my bookie is the first organization to send a human to Mars.
Wow, that was a curveball, yeah.
The interesting thing to me is that the cutoff for betting is the end of this year. So does my bookie know something about sending people to Mars that we don't?
I don't know. Maybe they just restart it every year.
SpaceX has a big lead, though, at minus 450.
Naturally.
And then you got to go with Blue Origin at plus 400.
You got it.
But the number one thing, in my opinion, you can bet on, which seems pretty contradictory, is who's going to be the next Pope. So, and that's also at the end of this year.
Wow.
Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle from the Philippines. He's got a solid lead at plus 400.
Wow.
So, that, didn't know you could bet on religious things, but you can.
I got to go with Luis. Why not? Be bold. We need a new Pope. Did you see the Pope with the water gun?
No.
On Twitter? Because he can't touch the babies to, you know, bless them. So he's shooting the holy water like in a drive-thru format from a water gun. Anyways.
You have a Pope water gun drive-thru?
We do.
This is where we're at.
Okay, I got a few more NFL futures. Thank you, Isaac.
I got nothing else. So you go ahead.
That was fun. Comeback player of the year. I'm getting on Eli Hershkovich's bandwagon and saying Matt Stafford.
Okay. I don't hate it.
I don't think the Lions are going to win the division like he does, but Stafford's plus 750 to win comeback player of the year behind, I think it's only J.J. Watt, and then he's second. That's not bad odds. And I mean, they don't have to be.
Might be in there somewhere.
Yeah, Big Ben's probably in there somewhere. I'm trying to think who even would be in that discussion. Did anyone have a horse? Antonio Brown, maybe, if he gets picked up?
Nick Foles.
Oh, I'd gladly lose that bet if it was Nick Foles. But I mean, yeah, if the Lions go 8-8 and Stafford's really good, he could win comeback player of the year. And that's plus 750. Rookie of the year, I'll take Isaiah Simmons. I know Chase Young is probably in the lead, but he's in second at plus 650. And why not? I'm doubling down on the Cardinals here. Plus 650 is not terrible odds either.
We're a Cardinals station.
Yeah, true. Not the Arizona Cardinals, well, but we could become
one. Like in the last couple months.
That's fair. And then finally, coach of the year, I got two candidates. Bruce Arians at plus 1,000 seems pretty safe to me. He's Bill so Belichick.
10-1?
Bill Belichick's in first at plus 900, 9-1.
Not going to happen.
Arians is in second at 10-1. I like 10-1 odds on Arians. I mean,
it's good.
You know, if the Bucs go 9-7 and like win a wild card game and Brady's really good, that Arians is probably going to win coach of the year, right? It seems like to me, unless someone else has like an out of nowhere really good year. So I like 10-1 odds on Arian, then 22-1 Vic Fangio. I know he wasn't great last year, but the Broncos added a bunch of weapons. I'm just kind of throwing darts at
Drew
Locke
is decent. They should be pretty solid.
And I don't think they're going to win the division by any means.
Beat out the Chiefs.
But again, that's a team where like say they go 9-7 and make a wild card. I could see him winning coach of the year maybe.
It's one of those deals where they're not going to give it to Andy Reid if the Chiefs win.
Well, that's
13
the thing. Yeah, like the best
John
odds
Harbaugh.
Were the best odds were Belichick, Sean Payton, and Andy Reid. And I'm going, unless Belichick is really good with nothing, I don't see how any of those three guys win Coach of the Year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just kind of went for some value there with Arians and Fangio. I can't recap all that because I don't even know what the heck we just did. But that was kind of.
Don't make me say those names again.
Someone
Isaac,
on the
got anything
line.
Else?
The last one that's actually serious is the Houston Texans 2020 win total is at 7.5. And I would personally pound the under just because of all they've lost. And I feel like Bill O'Brien is kind of stirring up the pot. A lot of players might not want to be playing for him. There's going to be some. And everybody knows that like problems inside the organization can be really dangerous.
They don't manifest themselves well.
I would pound the under. I think they go 6-10 or 5-11, honestly.
Wow. Okay. Other than like Watson just being ridiculously good by himself, I can see that happening as well. Someone on the text line really does not like one of these soccer teams. I'm not going to say what he said, but man.
Something that Michael Jordan would have said to somebody.
I don't have any feelings that strong yet.
Yeah,
against Bundesliga.
They cost you
something. Right.
Well, good show.
That was fun.
Chris Widlick at 4:30 talking Indiana to continue our preview, which I believe we're going to do again tomorrow.
Yeah, we got Iowa. We got Ohio State. Haven't nailed down a guy for Ohio State yet. And then Teddy Greenstein to wrap it up to talk Northwestern.
Awesome. We'll have Lon back tomorrow. Thanks again to Chris Widlick. Good stuff on Trev's ticket. I embarrassed myself, but hopefully if we win money.
Nobody cares.
It'll all even itself out. So see you guys tomorrow. Good stuff. Thank you, Isaac. This is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.